soup can.
Maybe we could say Edward had a transplant. Instead of scissor hands, we could do Edward rake hands.
Joe Buck did some very dumb things.
I just fucked Anne Margaret.
Totally fucked a rock star last night.
Guys packing mad equipment.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Thank you very much for joining the program each and every week here via the internet, via the medium of podcast. Episode 155 of the show. Who thought it would last this long? Certainly not me, but we are very grateful to have you as an audience. We are very grateful that you choose to listen to us each and every week. And by us, I mean myself and co-host Ed Daly, who joins us now. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Oh, good to hear.
As well as expected, considering the disappointment of seeing the Patriots luck into another Super Bowl victory.
Wow.
Their last two wins were just fucking bullshit.
Wow. Well, whenever you're picking who's going to win a game, I always look at one thing first and foremost. Who's got the better quarterback? In this case, the Patriots had the better quarterback. But more importantly, near equal importance, not more important, but near as important, is who's got the better coach? Or in this case, coaching staff. Because there's certain things, like there's new thinking in a lot of sports. There's new ways of looking at things. And we realize that the sacrifice bunt, for example, is a bad idea in nearly every situation. You should always swing away unless it's a pitcher up there that's hitting like
33.
Yes, under 100. But in some, dare I say, most situations, Ed, when all you need is a field goal to put the game effectively out of reach, and you're in field goal range, what do? You run the fucking football. You try to get a few more yards to ice that, to put it comfortably in the field goal kicker's realm. And hey, maybe your guy springs one. By the way, the Atlanta Falcons were springing runs left and right. They had the
first play of the game.
They had a bunch of long runs, and they were running the ball at will. But no, they decided that they were going to keep throwing the ball. They took a sack. They took a couple of losses, got themselves out of field goal range. They had a fumble. They fucking blew the game in an exceptional fashion. This one was handed to the Boston Patriots on a silver platter.
I don't, you know, the problem is then everybody counters, well, Brady's the GOAT. Yeah. And like, he's a great quarterback.
He's
I get it. But his last two championships were fucking handed to him on a silver platter. Another time, Marshawn Lynch is like one of the best backs of the league, maybe the best goal line back at the time. Yeah. And they have to throw on the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
And they had time. Like, they didn't have to throw. Like, there was no reason to not run Marshawn just a few plays right up the middle.
No, that's again another case of overthinking.
Yeah, and it's like, it's just, it's so disheartening. I feel like I've had a lot of these disheartening moments.
It is.
Whether it's election night or fucking, it's just enough. Like, nobody even tolerates the Patriots outside of Boston at this point.
It is unfortunate. I didn't realize that this, I don't follow sports too closely. This was the Patriots' largest margin of victory in a Super Bowl. Did you know that? They won.
That's crazy. I know they won by a touchdown. A couple on field goals, but yeah. But yeah, then like it was late coming back from a Super Bowl party with my boys and they're like upset, and I was like, well, you gotta understand, like, it wasn't our team playing, so
yeah, who cares?
You know, like, I didn't want the Patriots to win, but like ultimately who gives a shit? It's one of 29 other teams, or what is it? 31 other teams. That's not mine. Not so the Skins. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I didn't really have a rooting interest. You know, I was sort of rooting for the Falcons.
I just wanted to see New England lose.
Yeah.
I didn't really care. I mean, same. Hey, Falcons fans can't really care about the Falcons. Nobody cares about that team.
No. Isn't that one of the cities where nobody somehow. In Atlanta, they're known for being apathetic. Like, no one goes to the games. Even a couple years ago, the Atlanta Hawks had like the best record in the Eastern Conference, or next to the best record.
Right.
And there still was like empty seats at playoff games. And they're known for that. And yet, all their teams get new stadiums every 2 or 3 years. What is it?
The Georgia Dome is already obsolete. Yeah. Like, what's going on there?
They just opened that.
Knicks
like,
fans.
Yeah, like 4 years ago. And then now they're getting a new baseball stadium. And they just opened the other one like 6 weeks ago. It's every 6 weeks, new stadium, despite the fact, paid for by the taxpayers, I'm sure, despite the fact that no one goes to the games on any of their teams.
I watched a little bit of a Knicks and Hawks game a couple weeks ago, and the Knicks have been so awful for so long.
Lost to the Lakers last night.
Aside from like one year in the last 15 years, they were good. Right. But the Hawks crowd still, it was overwhelming Knicks fans, like going crazy. It's like people in New York aren't even going this crazy over the Knicks. What's going on there?
Yeah. I love that. You want to check in on some of our, let's review some of our prop bets. I don't have all of the answers, but I found a few. Lady Gaga's belly button was not visible at the start of her performance.
Did you say it would be? I think maybe I said it would be.
No, I think we said no on that one. The Lady Gaga's hair color was blonde, which that was the favorite, came off at 2-3. She didn't overtly make an anti-Trump statement. I don't think she did at all. She said
She absolutely did. And this was, I mean, whether it's subtle or not, she did. Opening up with "This Land Is Your Land."
Yeah. It's a protest song for sure.
Because I remember when one of my dumb racist aunts or cousins posted on Facebook, like saying something like, "It's nice to see Lady Gaga doesn't feel like it. She has to make any political statements." "This Land Is Your Land" was Woody Guthrie's "Fuck You to God Bless America."
Yeah,
because he was talking about how it's made for you and me, but then like in some of the verses was saying, well, you know, except we shit on, you know, half the people here, and it's not fair. But that is 100% a protest song. So she did it in a subtle way, but she absolutely was making a statement.
I would say she definitely made a statement, but I don't know if I'm an odds maker if I give it's specifically an anti-Trump
political statement. Didn't she have one of those pro-gay songs? I mean, I was at a party, so I wasn't listening.
It was a very gay performance. Like, there were a lot of gays. I mean, there was a lot of gays.
Which, again, is an implied anti, especially Pence. You know, It was definitely part of that, you know, where we are not in agreement with you.
Do you think Pence like catches himself tapping his foot a little bit and like kind of like shimmying to the all the gay dancers up there, and then immediately excuses himself to the restroom so he can self-flagellate?
Yeah, I imagine he's like Michael Shannon in Boardwalk Empire. Like, he gets into a room and he just whips himself with his belt.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that too. Okay, what else? Oh, Luke Bryan, hand over the heart. The hand. We did not think this was going to happen. The hand was firmly over the heart. There was a lot of hand over heart during that. There was a little confusion here. cowboy boots and blue jeans.
He was in jeans.
He was wearing jeans. They were not blue.
This was a dressy occasion, so he had to go with the black jeans.
He went with the black jeans. They were very tight. I could see his circumcision scar. That was really quite a choice there for Mr. Brian, who I'd never heard of.
Did he go over? He went way over.
So as of the time of our recording, the total was 1:58. The final line came out at 2:09, and he went over that.
Somebody watch rehearsals.
This dude was stretching it out.
He was feeling himself.
Yeah, he was. He must have had somebody go down there and lay a dime on the over, because from the beginning, he was extending notes, and then he finished with a flourish, and that was a long-held note of the brave. That went over. I didn't find this one, and I wasn't really paying close attention. Over under on commercials featuring Peyton Manning, the number was 1. I don't recall seeing Peyton Manning. I didn't pay close attention.
Yeah,
it was a weak commercial year in general.
There must have been something. The one thing that I noticed with the commercials is it was like well into the second half before there was an original movie trailer. It was all sequels of franchises.
Yeah. Fast 8.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
I can't believe they're still making those.
Well, I have a feeling we have a story later that'll tell you exactly why they need to keep making those.
Johnny Depp has a lifestyle. He has a lifestyle. Okay.
He's going to be making about 17 more of those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll keep making them as long as they keep writing the checks. No one fell off the stage during the halftime show that I'm aware of. Although, this Lady Gaga, she was suspended in midair. She was way up on top of towers. And then she ran. Well, I suppose she.
Could have been an Owen Hart situation,
she did
right?
Jump off the stage. She caught a football like you do in the pool in the summertime where you're like, hey, toss me the ball. And then you dive and catch the ball, football into the pool. It's at no age does that game get unfun. I mean, it's a fun game.
Yeah, I didn't watch like intently because I got trapped in some conversation. I was at one of these parties where we know the family that was hosting.
Yeah.
But they go to a different school than our kids.
Yeah.
And it was all parents from the other. And you know, when you're around groups of friends, and I guess I am judging them somewhat, but it's less about that than me just not caring about these other families.
Yes.
And then they've all got their they're shorthand with each other. Oh, you know Doug.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Becky's founder schnapps. Yeah. Like, everybody's got this thing. It's like, hey, fuck off, all of you. Like, I don't want any of these conversations. I don't know. I mean, there were a couple sad dads that had to be sent home. Oh. They got the tap. They got the manager came out of the dugout and was like, give it a tap in the shoulder.
Give
like,
me the right hander.
We're going home. We're going home. One kid, I saw one kid saying to his dad, like, Dad, are you drunk? Like, it was not good. I mean, people were drinking like beer.
Control yes.
There's a lot of fucking Amstels. Like, who's getting shit faced on Amstel and like Miller Lite? There was like, what is going on here? Coronas. Just sloppy drunk in a half.
Once you hit a certain age, don't you have to actively try to get yourself that drunk? Like, if you're not really going for it, you're fine. You know how to control yourself.
Life, but like in that scenario, it's the first half of a game.
Unbelievable.
And then a couple of the guys during the second half, when things are falling apart, all of a sudden somebody gave them a headset. They're calling in plays and talking about how the defense isn't aligned. It was like,
no.
I don't even have to pretend to care about you people. I don't know you.
No, nothing worse than the guy that really knows. He's predicting the plays. He's reading the defenses. Oh, look, they're in cover 2.
Roll up, yeah.
Yeah. He's looking for the safety over the top. I mean, dude, I don't care. I don't understand, first of all, and all you're trying to do is show me that you do understand, and that just makes me hate you.
Oh, and the big plate, like, you know, people, the big table, people were like bringing things to add to the party. And I Instagrammed a picture. One guy just brought up like a plate full of broccoli and cauliflower.
What?
And it's like, there's a fucking time and place for everything, buddy.
Well, no,
get that fuck out of here.
He brought that to dip into some onion dip or some Fiesta Ranch, right? Like, that's not.
I didn't see any dip. Oh, I mean, in my picture, I don't think there's any dip involved. Oh, it was just like, what?
This is unbelievable.
Hey, I'm either gonna have some Doritos or like a 6 foot sub on the table, or maybe I'll just have a fistful of broccoli at a Super Bowl party. Oh, that's where if you're really into that, you're not into going to a Super Bowl party.
Oh, this is shocking. Okay, what else do we have? I don't know.
Joe Buck.
Oh yeah, hold on. I just want to make sure we didn't. Oh, so she did jump off the stage. I don't think that counts as a falling off the stage. No one caught fire during the halftime show. Odds the words Deflategate is not mentioned by Buck Aikman or the sideline reporters during the game. 8-1. Actually, it was over under. Over under was 1.5. Outcome under. They got staunch orders from the league not to discuss Deflategate because it was not mentioned. Odds of Joe Buck being clean shaven for the Super Bowl broadcast, 10-1. That could have been 500-1, right, Ed?
Yeah, that guy was trying real hard for you to not look upstairs.
Yeah, he's got a lot of issues. He went the plug route. He lost his hair early in life. It was caused him great anxiety. So he got plugs. And let's be honest, plug technology's come a long way, but it has not near come to perfection yet.
No.
And this, he's just hanging on to those few little pieces he has left. He's really got it styled in an unfortunate way. I mean, it looks like plugs. And so he's just trying to have anything going on down below to keep your gaze from going up. Like, he wears glasses. He does not want you looking directly at his hair.
But again, I mean, we've talked about that being bald is no big deal. Yeah. But on top of that, he's hired for being a milquetoast guy who had connections and a deep voice.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have any need, whether he's bald or not. I mean, Joe Garagiola was on TV for a million years. Like, nobody fucking cares.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's the guy that does the Giants games that used to do the
Miller,
John Miller.
Yeah.
He's nobody fat cares. And bald, and he's great. The guy calls a great game.
Way better than Buck.
Of course. I don't know. What, they didn't bring in Pereira. They didn't show him. They went to him a couple times and asked him. Odds that Fox replay official Mike Pereira is wrong on the first coach's challenge. I wasn't paying that close of attention. He was definitely right on the Julian, what's his name? Edelman.
Edelman.
On catch. The Julian Edelman catch. Greatest catch you ever saw?
Yeah,
is incredible. Come on.
It was an incredible catch.
Give him
credit. It was one of those, you know, crazy. It was a great catch.
Yeah.
I just don't like, I, as much as I can't stand him, like, I was more impressed by the Beckham catch that he had, like, in like a regular season game a few years ago.
I mean, it was
like,
it
that,
was one
to me, that's
fucking,
like, kind of crazier looking. That was certainly the best big game catch.
It was
ever.
1 inch off the carpet. Way more impressive than David Tyree's against the helmet, in my opinion.
I agree.
No one got arrested. Oh, this one was interesting. The Gatorade.
What happened there?
According to my records, there was no Gatorade pour. 10-1, Ed.
I think you called that, right? You said people would be afraid of getting cut.
I thought maybe, yeah. Like, it might be a bad idea because it's Belichick, but
joyless
orange,
franchise.
Blue, clear, purple, yellow, none of those came in the money. It was a none. The 10-1.
It's a dumb tradition. It's a dumb tradition, but it's also dumb that, of course, the Patriots wouldn't do it because that would show that they're enjoying the Super Bowl and We expect to be here. Like, fuck off.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree with you there. Okay, what else? Hold on, I lost my place. I think that's it. Oh, do we know? I don't think anybody taller than 6'3 scored a touchdown.
That white guy didn't seem like a tall guy.
Yeah, it wasn't. Did Martellus Bennett have one? I don't think so.
I don't think so. He was interfered with.
Right. That's what got him to the 2-yard line.
Yeah, but I guess I was wrong with the over.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it. That's the props. That's always fun. Quickly, before we get into sports, a couple of emails. And this one's sort of hard to relay, but...
It's worthwhile.
It quite possibly is the most interesting and...
Yeah, this is what we want.
This is the kind of... the subject line is kindred spirits. And the email, this is from our buddy Ross Bruns, who is a Patreon, who is one of our patrons, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle, where you too can contribute financially to the program.
He's contributing information to the show.
But
now.
He's done much more here than you could by giving any dollar amount. So the subject line is kindred spirits, and the text of the email says, to my knowledge, this guy has never listened to the show. And then below that, he has a screenshot of a an iMessage conversation. Of course, Ross Bruns, he gets it.
Of course.
So he's got an iPhone. He's got an iMessage conversation with a buddy, and his buddy texts to him, he saw so-and-so downtown last night. He's head of security at some hotel. Pointed out Michael Irvin. And I followed him into the restroom and pissed next to him.
There you go.
Soup can. Wow.
Not a surprise.
It's the choice you make, Ed.
Yeah, the playmaker.
The playmaker is showing his bona fides at some Houston area hotel.
He's always carried himself with some real confidence, false confidence.
Yeah, even at the U.
Yeah, he played very loose. He was wearing number 47 as a receiver at the U. He had that extra swagger that he just knew.
He was 25 years old and wearing a mink.
Confident.
Alvin Harper had bought a house or rented a house just for partying and doing coke and fucking chicks. Like this guy, you would be shocked if he weren't holding a quote soup can. And props to this hero, this person that's never heard our show, doesn't know who we are, but is a kindred spirit with our very own Ed Daly.
Proud of him.
Making a choice of his own, headed into the bathroom to check out Michael Irvin's soup can.
I might get credit for it, but everybody feels this way.
For sure. I mean, if Michael Irvin's having a piss next to you're glancing over. I'd be like, hey, what's up, playmaker? And just a quick look.
Playmaker.
I'm guessing that Michael Irvin isn't one of these weirdos that leans way into the urinal. I bet he takes a step back because he doesn't want any splashback on his $1,500 suit.
That's right. With his 14 buttons.
Yes. Amazing. That's an excellent email, Ross. Thank you very much for that. Another email. Ballers and aging experts, A, Rafael Nadal's OCD pattern between points is pick his ass, sniff, left ear, sniff, right ear. Can you imagine shaking hands with this monster? This might be okay in Australia, but hopefully not in America.
Isn't he Spanish? Why is this Australian?
Because he played the Australian Open. I already called the police. And two, my rule of thumb for movies is if the trailer shows a man wearing a suit and running, I won't see it. Andy in Denver, regularly humming, he might own Troy on DVD.
I love having hard rules with movies. I can't say I agree because I'm a big James Bond fan. Yeah. So he's running in a suit. I do like having a rule. My rules... I tend to stay away from any coming of age.
Yeah, that's a good rule.
You find yourself on your own time, not on my time. And I would also say any movie revolving around horses.
That's a great point, yeah.
I don't give a fuck about Seabiscuit or War Horse or the Black Stallion. Yeah. You can take your horses.
Far Lap. Yeah. None of the above. I just hate personalities. If Andrew Garfield's in it, I'm not seeing it. Same.
You know what? Again, he's making a lot of appearances.
I know. You're not going to see me in one of his movies. Emma Stone, Anne Hathaway. There's a whole list of mostly broads that I will consciously avoid.
I'm no fan of either, yeah. But I've watched and I liked the last Batman one that I saw with her.
Oh, yeah.
That was actually pretty good.
Bane?
With Christian Bale and Bane.
Yeah.
She happened to be in it, so I can't make that rule for her. And with Emma Stone, she was in Birdman with Keaton, and I had to watch that. So.
She was in Birdman, but I'll say this. With Emma Stone, as with all Emma Stone movies, this is an impression of me 47 and a half minutes into Birdman in the theater. Is that Emma Stone? So if I don't notice you, it's like I didn't know she was in it. And then even when I was watching her in it, I didn't realize it was her.
Yeah.
So
I'm not cool going to an Emma Stone or Anne Hathaway vehicle.
No.
But if they happen to be in it, I can't say I shoot it down altogether.
No, I totally agree with you. Ed, we just did all the prop bets. And a lot of people are saying, hey, you know what? This shit was fucking predetermined. The outcome was already given before the game was played. What do you think about that?
Well, there is one person. Sixers rookie Joel Embiid.
The process.
Watched the Super Bowl on Sunday in disbelief, and he took to Twitter to offer his theory. Wow, I'm sorry, but this is rigged. Yeah. Atlanta, four dots, by the way, after rigged. Oh.
He went to Kansas. Also, he's from Africa.
He's from Africa. Yeah. I don't know how much English he got.
Right.
Atlanta didn't burn the clock down. Didn't run the ball at all. Hashtag rigged.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, he offered an alternate theory. Or the Falcons are just tanking. ..
Which is it?
In 2 minutes, he figured it out. They're just tanking.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, Brian, while unconventional, do you think the Falcons were just trying to lose the game so they get a better draft pick?
Yes, of course.
Tanking.
They didn't want to.
He's on the Sixers, so you thought that's just commonplace for every team.
They didn't want to pick 32nd. They wanted to pick 31st. Duh.
Yeah, exactly. but you know, here's a guy that clearly didn't watch much football growing up.
No. In Africa.
But it was fucking painfully obvious. It wasn't just the play calling when they were in field goal range. The whole second half, they were like rushing when they were up 28-3 and they're snapping the ball with 18 on the game clock. I mean, that's just dumb. Like, it's not like in basketball where they say, don't just hold it until the clock is out and then just try to take the last shot because you might get a bad shot. In football, it doesn't matter if you snap every time with 1 second on the play clock.
Run clock. You got to run.
The play is still the fucking same.
Yeah. You don't want to take your foot off the pedal, but it's not like these guys couldn't run the football. They were running the football. That's how they got such a big lead, is that they were able to balance their attack by gashing them up the gut.
Yeah.
And, so keep running the football. Running the football takes time off the clock.
And you have in your booth, you have guys looking at the replay and telling you whether or not you need to challenge.
Yeah.
And the Edelman catch was clearly a catch.
Yeah.
It wasn't like one of those, it could go either way. Yeah. Like, the ball was never touching the ground in any way.
Yep.
And they challenged, lost their last timeout right before the 2 minute warning or whatever it was. And so then they didn't have enough time. There were so many dumb things, or like when they're out of timeouts and they run like a tight end screen when they need like 40 yards to get a field goal.
Yeah, there was the conversation was they should just let them score at some point. Like, you knew the Patriots were going to score. There was like 2 minutes left in the game, and it's like, hey, maybe just let them fucking put it in there, and then you got time to get down the field and kick a field goal. That was pretty stupid. I'm reminded. Joe Buck did some very dumb things. First of all, he can't tell the difference between Danny Woodhead and Edelman. And I know they're both little white guys, but one is number 11 and one has a number in the 80s. So that's like pretty easy. Also, you have somebody right next to you telling you who makes the catch on everything.
Right. The spotter.
Yeah. So it's like, but even if the spotter gets it wrong, like there's a pretty big difference between the two guys. And he constantly kept messing that one up. And then he was dumbfounded and shocked that at the end of the game, how many yards Tom Brady had thrown for. Hey, dickhead. They were down by – it was 28-3. Like they threw on – I don't think they ran it one single time except for the touchdown at the end of the game. They threw it tons of times, and that's how you get a lot of yards. Like of course he's going to throw for a lot of yards. It was the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Now, I will say we were talking all the bad things about a Super Bowl party. With all the random noise, I missed a ton of Joe Buck.
It was kind
of
nice.
I mean, the volume was on, but like, there's just enough stuff going on.
Yeah, second year in a row, I quietly watched, just sat on my couch, had a couple beers, ate some chicken wings, explained the game of football to our very own Fancy Sauce, who was obsessed with the term. I made some tweets about it because she's obsessed with the term sack. Like she doesn't that it connotes a different thing for our very own Fancy Sauce than what it actually is in the game of football. Okay, but you got more football stories.
Oh, well, let's take it to college football. 4-star wide receiver prospect from Lakeland, Florida, who until very recently seemed close to signing with Ohio State. That changed after he was cited for weed during a visit to the university and tweeted this a few days later when the news broke. OSU players do so much drugs. And that was all caps. And then he added a bunch of hashtags, including that little circle with the arrow male chromosome symbol.
Yeah, what's that mean? Why is that there?
I don't know.
I don't know them. I would never use those because I don't know which one's male and which one's female.
I mean, maybe he did the female. I think the male is the arrow and the female is the plus, I think.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. Because the plus kind of looks like a dude.
But right. A little dick hanging out. But either way.
Yes.
What does that have to do with OSU players do so much drugs? All caps.
These millennials and their emojis. All these emojis have meanings that we don't understand, Ed.
Yeah, and then after presumably being lectured for being a bitch, Robinson went back on Twitter and changed his tune. Want to apologize about my comment I made about OSU players. I let my emotions get to me. I want to apologize for embarrassing myself, family, teammates, school community, and those that support me.
Obviously written by the same guy.
Yeah, exactly. When signing day came, he signed with the Florida Gators. Brian, two things. One, how dumb do you have to be to get arrested with weed during a recruiting visit?
Very dumb. And
two, what the fuck was up with that male chromosome emoji?
It's very weird. I don't know what that one meant. And when you get, like, aren't you being hosted? Like, you don't bring your own drugs to the recruitment thing. Like, they're taking you, they're getting you laid. They've got the drugs.
In Louisville, they've got hookers lined up for you.
Yeah. Like you,
Patino.
Yeah, you don't you're being shown a good time. You don't show up with your own good time. They've got the good time there. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I remember being in school and you just knew because there would be these like, you know, very young looking teenagers would be at the bar with you. Like you just know, oh, the recruits, they're showing them around. Like recruits don't have to do anything. Like for you to get arrested means you're like, hey, you know, I'm going to go off on my own and walk by the Columbus Police Department with a joint in my mouth.
Very
like,
stupid.
What are you doing?
That's very dumb. It does help me to recall when I was in high school. This was in the 90s. I don't like to date myself here, but it's necessary for this story. We would have these pep rallies, and a lot of times the pep rally was like during school. There'd be like an assembly. Yeah. So they'd let you out, right. You know, they'd let you out of third period a little bit early and then you'd go do this rally and then you'd go from the rally to lunch. So most of the time I would try to like dodge this thing. I would like act like I was walking there and then I would go disappear and go do something else. But sometimes I would be forced to go to one of these rallies. And I do recall our gym was sort of segmented into like four sections. And this is when I was a freshman. Mm-hmm. Might have been when I was a sophomore, and each class, each grade level got one section of the gym. So there was two on one side and two on the other, and they would sort of like go, and then so they were would sort of pit the classes against each other, and each group,
they're like, we got more spirit than you.
Right, it was like a spirit off, and so each group would like do a chant, and so it would be like, and I was the class of 93. And so, not to give it away, but I graduated in high school in 1993.
Yeah, you could have played it vague. It could have been 1999.
I need it for this. So it would like go by section. So the seniors would go and they'd be like, 91 has more fun. And they get the whole group would be chanting, 91 has more. And then it was like, 92 has more spirit than you. I can't remember what 92's chant was, but yeah, I can't remember what 91's either.
Better
but they would do a chant. And then it would come to us, and we were a class of 93, and then we'd start chanting, 93 is not drug free. 93 is not drug free. And then the whole rest of the gym would get quiet, and like all the teachers and the vice principals would come over, like try to get us. And we'd be like, 93 is Irie. 93 is. And we had all these like drug related chants, and they were not very spirit related. And I think at some point we were like not allowed to come to, they just didn't let
high school's bad boy. Yes. Brian Beck.
Well, I didn't lead anything, but I definitely participated.
These pep rallies.
Yeah.
I remember because being in the football team, it was incredibly lame for us. Very. Because yeah. Like there would always be some fucking hard-ons on the football team who would be like, don't smile. Like we're doing, because yeah, like, they would have us in fucking folding chairs in front of the school that like 25 people would show up to see us play. And like they'd make everybody cheer and go crazy. And we'd just be sitting in folding chairs. It's like, no smiles, no cheering. Everybody sit there. And you just sit there like a fucking idiot. Yeah. And like, oh, yeah, we got to pretend we're hard as hell when we're a bunch of fucking douches just like the rest of you.
Yeah, exactly.
It was all so dumb.
Yeah, very dumb. Speaking of weed. I miss this guy. How does this guy not have a job on TV? Of course, I'm talking about former Warrior and...
He was a lot of teams. Spur.
Oh, he Pacer. Was... Pacer. Malice at the Palace.
Right.
What's going on with Steven Jackson these days?
Well, he was a guest on Michael Rappaport's podcast and shared some stories about smoking weed during his career. And he had some good ones. I can't speak for nobody else. Me personally, I've done a lot of shit before games sometimes and was still able to go out there and be productive. I just got to be real, you know? It's been a couple games where I smoked before games and had great games. It's been some games where I smoked before the game was on the bench after 3 minutes sitting on the sideline. Please calm down. This high has to calm down. I done shot three shots that went over the backboard. I'm like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I got to calm down. And then he also talked about getting his last test of the season. We're in Utah and the drug test people are around, you know, to get our last drug test so we can smoke, right? Don Nelson, we talked about weed all the time. He was cool with talking about weed.
Oh, yeah.
We got our last test in Utah, right? So me and Baron are coming out the locker room just screaming, excited with our last pink slip, saying we could smoke for the rest of the season. And Don Nelson hauls us down there, giving us high fives like, yeah, we can smoke now. It was cool. The fact that he knows what's going on off the court with his players, which was great, man. We enjoyed it. That's why we're a great team. Now, Brian, two things. One, why the fuck do sports leagues test for weed?
It's crazy.
And also, who wants to play basketball after smoking weed?
Yeah, it's – yeah.
It seems like something you wouldn't want to do.
Right. I saw there was like some kind of press conference, or it was like a town hall with Roger Goodell before the Super Bowl, and I saw somebody in the audience asked him, like, hey, what's up? Like, let these guys smoke weed. And he's like, well, we've done a lot of research, and at this point, no one is advising us that we need to change our policy in any way. Like, he had a real diplomatic answer, but especially football. Like, these dudes.
Right.
I just read a headline today where former Music City Miracle guy –
right.
Former tight end
for the
Titans. Oh, Frank Wycheck was a Terp.
Of course he was.
Oh, I didn't know that. He thinks he's got CTE.
Yep.
You know, it's like this fucking – we're learning that this sport really fucks people up. And you're seeing a lot of guys retire, a lot of guys playing different sports. Like it's affecting the league and and viewership's down. A lot of people say that had something to do with the election, blah, blah, blah. People are realizing that this gladiator sport, these guys get fucked up. And additionally, they got to take a lot of painkillers. They're in pain.
Right. Those painkillers are way worse Yeah, terrible.
Addictive properties, they're hell on your liver. They're not that effective after a while.
And Bryant Gumbel's show is just they pretty much just set up two stories per episode about why painkillers are killing them and why CTE is killing them. Like that's their show now.
Yeah, real sports is the best. Let athletes smoke weed. Like, who fucking cares? It's legal in some form of weed is legal in pretty much every real state by now. Eventually, it's going to be legal in every state. So it's just like we realize the error of our ways. We know now that it's a safe drug. It's not even really a drug, and it doesn't matter. Just like let people.
On top of all that, the legality. It's like. That's not a performance enhancer.
No, I mean, it's true.
Back my second question about why would you want to play basketball when stoned? That's a different issue. But like, it's never going to make you a better player.
No,
it could make you deal with pain.
It does. I feel like it does kind of help you focus. Like if you,
basketball,
yeah. Like I felt like if I shot, I'm going to try this. If I shot 20 free throws. Cold, like walked up and shot 20 free throws sober. And then another time I went back and I smoked a couple bong hits first, or one, just one. And then I went to the line and shot 20 free throws. I would guarantee you I would shoot a higher percentage high because I'm able to focus, block out the noise, singular focus, and concentrate. And I feel like that's part of it. And plus these guys are high all the time. So it doesn't, I don't think it really, it does it enhance their performance? Probably not. But does it affect their performance? I doubt it because they're used to being high. We got to talk about, wait, hold on. Keep forgetting to do this. Somebody, we already had one emailer quote this song, this beautiful song by our very own Writes a Bill.
Beautiful song.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. My own joy on DVD.
Amazing. It just gets better every time I hear it.
It is. It's great.
Well done, Ryan Sabil. Ed, we're talking about when I was in high school, 1993.
Yep.
You know, I was basically a juvenile delinquent. I was getting thrown out of class a lot. They had like a special, an area that they would send the dipshits like me, like during school, but just to get you out of class, they'd be like, go to this room and sit there. But these days, things have really changed. Like the inmates are actually running the fucking asylum. It is crazy.
It is insane.
And we've talked about this a lot on this show. There are, it's pretty much a given that if you're in high school right now, one of your teachers is just getting train run on her after school by a plethora of eager young men.
But like usually just a couple of randos. Like it's not like the captain of the football team. Doesn't have to be the future Tom Brady. It's just any random guy.
And we've heard these moves. Like they'll just like a kid will just walk up and be like, "Hey, hit me on my snap," and boom, they're showing each other their genitals later that day, and they're fucking by the end of the week. This is pretty common. Well, and seems like it's happens a lot in Texas.
It's a big state.
This story. No different, except it goes to an extra level. Because what usually ends up happening is one of these kids gets – his mouth gets a little too big and one of his buzzkill parents gets involved and gets the teacher busted and arrested. Mm-hmm. Well, in this case, the student took it a step further by not only did he slay the teacher, once he was done slaying her, he blackmailed her for tens of thousands of dollars, which on a teacher's salary is like her whole salary.
Yeah. They have to give up meals for the day, for like no lunch.
Yes. This happened at a Texas middle school, Ed, where a teacher has been charged with assault after having an affair with a student who later went on to extort tens of thousands of dollars from her. Tao Sandy Doan. She's Asian, but she's got an anglicized pseudonym. Nah. Nom de plume. Sandy. A 27-year-old social studies teacher. And we've talked about this. You should not be allowed to teach beyond anything older than elementary school kids. You can't. Anybody that's been through puberty can't have a teacher in her 20s to mid-30s. You got to be late 30s, early 40s, so you got some sense. This happened near Dallas, Raul Quintanilla Middle School. This chick was arrested after the relationship came to light. According to an affidavit, the mother, it's always the mother, of a 14-year-old boy went to authorities. I mean, she's 27, he's 14. That's only 13-year age difference, Ed.
Right, it's getting close.
Yeah, I mean, that's like 14's probably a little too young. It's right on the borderline. Like a 13, like I've been on the record here to say that this is usually a victimless crime. 14 is probably a little too young. You know, like 16, 17 for sure, victimless crime. 13, 14, 15, I think there's an issue there. So she told, the mother of the 14-year-old boy went to the authorities earlier this month complaining that her son was getting large sums of money from Doan and using the cash to buy alcohol and drugs. Well, yeah. The parent also shared with investigators screenshots of text messages suggesting that her son, a former student at Quintanilla Middle School, had been blackmailing his teacher-turned-lover. One message allegedly read, "Ain't BSing. Watch. I'ma start getting the pics and everything ready to show the cops, right? I ain't playing." Ed, the question is begged. Was this teacher, Tao Sandy Doan, raping Bodie from The Wire?
Yeah, either Bodie or one of the guys
Poot
in the corner.
Could have been Poot.
This is insane.
Yes, it's crazy.
She gives the kid the greatest gift of all, and this is how he repays her.
Pussy. He should have been giving her the money.
I mean, he truly is a delinquent. Like, extortion, I mean, I would say, I guess rape is a little higher on the food chain.
Right.
But extortion is one of the worst things you could do.
It really is pretty fucked up.
I want to get paid for shit I had nothing to do with.
That's right. Yeah.
Like, that is a low. Like, this kid, no matter what. I mean, he's only 14. You'd say kids can change. Like, absolutely not. This kid is a piece of shit for the rest of his life.
And
he's not going to be a productive member.
According to the story, yeah, he's the bad guy here. According to the story, he juiced her for 28 large, Ed.
Jesus, how did she? She must have been living out of her car.
That's her whole starting salary, probably. Like, teachers don't make that much money. 28 grand. Unbelievable. Definitely the kid is the bad guy here. The boy's uncle told the station that his young nephew seemed, quote, smitten with his teacher, who he later came to regard as his personal piggy bank. Like, he's out bragging about it, Ed. He's really – if this kid isn't in prison before his 18th birthday, he for sure will be after, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I cannot see him being a productive member of society.
No, I agree. Ed, we need to talk about Texas. We need to talk to Texas, because not only are there middle school students extorting their teachers who were kind enough to give them sex, they have a serious snake issue. Particularly in one home where a young boy, age of 4, popped open the toilet lid one day. Also, rule of thumb, keep your toilet lid down. You don't want things falling in there, and you don't want things coming out of there.
I don't like looking inside somebody's toilet.
Keep the lid down. Keep the lid down.
I can lift it.
Yeah, you have guests over, just keep the whole thing closed. That's why there's a lid there. Just keep it closed.
Right. And by God, fucking flush every time.
Yes, flush every time.
From this mellow, yellow lid.
Stop
that's fucking nonsense.
Stop with that. You flush. You get up in
the
middle of
the night.
I know
there are monsters out there that don't flush.
I know who they are. Yeah, Ed, this kid flips open the toilet. There's a goddamn snake in the toilet, a rattler.
Christ.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's everybody's, like, number one fear. He alerts the mom. I guess the dad's not home at the time. Hopefully, if this ever happens in my home, I'm not there either because I don't know what the fuck I would do. I'm not equipped to deal with a live snake. Like, I'm just not. I can't do it. This mom, though, because it's Texas, she knew what to do. She, and the story gets pretty graphic, but she grabs some household implements, a hoe, one of those things that Edward Scissorhands had.
Edge clippers?
Yeah, like what Brutus the Barber Beefcake used to cut people's hair with. She got one of those. And she took care of the snake. And they're like, hey, threat nullified. Like, mom, she went all Linda Hamilton and
she
shit.
She attacked a rattlesnake?
Yeah. The son kept trying to flush the toilet, and the snake was like
getting all agitated.
Yeah, was not having it. And so this is like a diamondback. The thing leapt from the bowl, and the mom knew she had to take care of business there. So she handled him with the hoe, and then just for good measure, gave him a snip job.
Jesus.
Yeah, crazy. But so they're like, okay, this is done. But the dad, like, he's on his way to check things out. And just as a precaution, he's like, you know what? I'm going to call the snake wranglers, which apparently in Texas is a thing.
Snake wranglers.
Yeah. So he calls up this – it's got a name. I don't know. He calls this company out that's like, get snakes. They come, they check out the premises, and they did have one snake there, but they also found just, a couple more.
In the, where?
A couple.
In the house?
A couple dozen more in the house. Oh, in total, 24 Western Diamondback rattlesnakes were located at the family's property, including the one in the toilet. 13 adult rattlesnakes were removed from a storm cellar. I don't know what that is, but it's whatever's in a storm cellar. It's something I don't want to see. It's either,
I think that's where bodies are hidden,
yeah,
right?
If you're at Gacy's place, it's a bunch of twinks down there. Anywhere else, it could be a possum, God forbid, a rat. None of that, snakes, nothing good happens in a storm cellar. Another 10 were removed from under the house. 5 of the snakes at the property were babies. Jeez, that's almost grosser than an adult. No. Baby snakes?
Jesus. Until they lay like a trillion eggs, there's just probably more popping up.
Yeah. So anyway, I need to find out. I want to know what – oh, big country snake removal was the – snake catcher's name.
Do you think when Snake Hoarder read this story, he was fully turgid?
Dude, I forgot about old Snake Hoarder. That guy was
my, he's like, oh, my wet dream.
That guy was my guy, Snake Hoarder. The guy had like 600 snakes, mostly alive, but a lot of also dead on his property, just at his house. And the neighbors had been calling for months complain about the smell, and the smell was so bad that the guy had to sit out front all the time. He was just sitting out front in a chair because there were so many snakes in his house. He had 600 snakes. Miss old Snake Hoarder. That's a local story here.
He went national.
Yeah. No, that went big. I want to know because we have a lot of listeners in the Houston area and in Texas in general. This sounds like a West Texas story to me. Rattlers, it's more like sort of a wild place. So I don't, this might not be in our listenership, but at any rate, like Texas, you guys got to fucking look after your own here. Somebody needs to do something about this snake thing.
Let me tell you what would happen if I found a rattlesnake in my toilet.
Tell me.
I would just take the kids. I would grab the car keys. I'd be like, all right, guys, we're going north. Maybe. We're leaving our life here.
Yep.
And we've got like, maybe we'll just, we'll buy a home in Iceland. Yeah, like I'm not figuring shit out. I'm not even checking to see if there's 23 more snakes in the crawl space. Yeah. I'm getting the fuck out of that house forever.
Totally agree.
If snakes feel welcome in my home, I am not welcome there.
And I was thinking it's could be good or bad. I mean, it's obviously bad, but it could be good in the sense that if you got 23 snakes living in your house, you probably got zero rats. But, which is my number one fear, which is the number one thing I fear being in my premises, presence. But, and premises. But, you could think of it another way. If there's 23 snakes hanging out at your house, that means there's a hell of a lot of shit for them to eat, which could mean that you have thousands of rats running around. Because if the snakes run out of rats to eat, they go to your neighbor's house and eat their rats. But if they're all right. If they're like, hey.
Yeah, maybe he's hungry. He's about to eat your four-year-old.
Yeah, cruise in here. Hey, come hang with me. Like, don't go to the neighbor's house. Shit's happening over here, and it's good. That means that there could be a lot to eat in that storm cellar.
Snakes are like high school kids. They don't want to go to the house where the mom has shitty things in her fridge and pantry.
Nope.
You go to the house where the kid has the good shit to eat.
That's a great point. Nobody was ever coming over to my house for snacks, that's for sure.
No. My mom, on a big day, we'd have Ritz crackers.
Yeah, same. Shit crackers, no ding-dongs, no Twinkies.
A lot of my friends had good shit.
No Hostess of any kind, nothing.
No.
This doesn't say where. This is really annoying because it doesn't say where this happened in Texas. And I want to know. I want to know who needs to be shamed. Somebody find out for us. One of you Texans out there, find out where this
was. Or let us know if you have the number of a snake removal company just in your phone.
Also, I got a question. Armadillos. What the fuck are those things? What is it? It's like is it a rodent? It's got a hard shell. What the actual fuck is an armadillo? Need answers.
That is interesting. I learned a little fact from my first grader's homework.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Hit me.
A hedgehog and a groundhog are the same thing.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what I read. I mean, you know, it was one of those like they give a few facts and then you, like they just teach them to read like reading comprehension.
Right.
And I read that and my mind was blown. I was like, I should read more of these first grade things.
Yeah. One hangs out in a hedge. One hangs out in the ground.
Yeah, same thing.
I went to my daughter's. My daughter had the talent show.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her friend sang a song accompanied by the friend's dad on guitar. It was pretty good. Theirs was the best in the show. But one of the other kids, just one kid by himself, got up and to a backing track. Belted out with a mic, Twisted Sisters, We're Not Gonna Take It.
Wow.
The kid was like in third grade. He was like 8 years old.
That's crazy.
He chose that song. He got up there, hammered it out by himself, like hit all the notes, like just got up
Were
there.
Were people and, going nuts?
Yeah, I was going crazy. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was an amazing, amazing performance by this kid. That's all. That's just an aside. Ed, we got a serious issue here on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast because the third member of our broadcast team has been waylaid again. I just recently received a message that she would not be able to make it. And I have a whole bunch of email correspondence from the listeners to cover with her. It's just...
Yeah, we got that real creepy one.
We got a couple creepy ones. And I've pushed it all back from last week. And then I had other show email to get to this week that I pushed back so we could get. We have a glut of fancy sauce related material to get to. So guys, I apologize. No fancy sauce this week. We thought she would be here. She is not. Thankfully, I do have here. I just need to find some stories. We could do our own version of
fancy. Yeah, we could try.
But I got to find, I did have some stories here. Hold on. Yes, shortly. First and foremost, let's start with this, Ed. This has been a big story. A lot of people have reached out to us via the interwebs about this. Popular topic on this show, often discussed, Johnny Depp. He's suing his business managers because he's saying they've misappropriated his funds. Seems to happen a lot. Don't they give you a statement?
Yeah, all you have to do is just look at like a end of the month statement.
Yeah.
End of the year statement, yeah. You'd figure it out. These sums.
Every month they send you a statement with what you got and where what came in, what went out, what went where, how much it's earning. And if you're ever concerned about your fiduciary and what they're doing with your money, you just call the bank. Go, hey, I have this statement here from my financial guy. He says I have this much money. What's my balance? And they'll tell you. Like, it's not that hard. I know you're busy doing Pirates of the Caribbean. But this, what the business managers, they're not having this. They're like, no, we didn't steal your money. You just fucking spend too much of it. From the story, Johnny Depp's former business managers have alleged that the actor is living an extravagant $2 million a month lifestyle, complete with 14 houses, 70 guitars, and an enormous appetite for wine. He's got, I know for a fact, he's got a 9 condos in the same building on the same floor at this building in downtown LA.
Is he renting them out?
No, they're all for sale. They're all for sale. And he would just like come home, stumble home, and just pick which one he wanted, which door he wanted to open and go to sleep in. It's crazy.
Seems reasonable.
This comes after Depp launched a $25 million lawsuit last month against his business managers, the Mandel Company, claiming gross mismanagement of his affairs. He said the company failed to properly pay taxes on his behalf, made unauthorized loans, and overpaid for security and other services, costing him tens of millions of dollars and leading to financial trouble, which he claims to have become aware of only in March. The cross-complaint filed this week stated that TMG did everything within its power over the last 17 years to protect Depp from himself and to keep
17 years.
Depp financially solvent, but that TMG did not have the power or ability to control Depp's spending or his numerous other vices.
Cocaine.
Or to force Depp to make wiser financial decisions. Do you think like when he got his statement, he had to call TMG and he's like, hey, what are all these checks to Kenny? And they're like, oh, then that's your dealer, Johnny. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of wire transfers going to Kenny. The guy report. I don't think it's in this story, but I saw it in another one that somebody sent us, that he supposedly spends like $30,000 a month on wine. Yeah.
$1,000 a day on wine.
Wine. Yeah.
I'm not a wine guy, yeah. But I've read enough like headlines and stuff that you can get quality bottles of wine for like $20.
Oh, totally.
$15, $25, like $1,000 a day. Yeah. Insane.
Yes.
The guy, you know, his interviews, he's always affected.
Yes. Yes.
He's always, you know, he's got a lot going on, always putting a lot into how he portrays himself. He is probably the most affected of all the bullshit affected Hollywood stars.
That's true. He's got an accent. He's always adorned, many scarves. Like, it's just, if he's spending $30,000 a month on wine, what do you think he's spending on bangle bracelets? Because he's every day he's got 50 or 60 of them on his person.
When I told you like a couple months ago, I was on Hulu and like I saw they had 21 Jump Street and I just clicked on like maybe the first episode to see what it was, you know, what it was like. And he just talked.
Is that how you were able to pull Harry Aoki out of your ass on a couple episodes ago? Or you just have that in the memory banks locked in?
That probably triggered it.
Yeah.
But he talked somewhat normal, which is even more of a, it's, you know, it's one thing if he grew up in with a weird accent in his home.
He's
he
from talked Kentucky. Somewhat normal.
Right. But he didn't sound like a Kentucky guy. He just kind of sounded, you know, pretty normal. And he's just the most affected guy always.
Yeah.
And he's going to keep making these movies. He's going to be in, I don't know what the Pirates of the Caribbean are up to, 5, 6. He's going to make, he's going up to 10.
I mean, he's got back end on those, Ed. He gets a big, like one of those movies could make him 40, 50 million bucks every single time. And apparently he needs it because he's spending $2 million a month. It's a big nut.
After his agents drop him, he's just going to be making cold calls to like former co-stars like Martin Landau. Would you be interested in maybe signing up for Edward too? I think we've got some tales to tell. Christopher Walken, remember we were in the nick of time together.
Is that the one where he's in a phone booth the whole time?
I'm screwing this up. Yeah. It wasn't there one where he like has a clock and somebody's gonna kill his daughter.
Yeah, he's got like a that's right. Yeah.
Tim Burton.
Oh no, please no.
I was thinking maybe let's you know think outside the box, maybe Sleepy Hollow or maybe we could say Edward had a transplant and instead of scissor hands we could do Edward rake hands or something like that. I could be a gardener in LA.
Edward scissor feet.
Yeah. Bear with me. We can go in a lot of directions. Edward scissor feet. Edward scissor toes.
Edward rake hands.
Yeah. Edward rake hands. Edward rake feet. I could be maybe there's an adventure where I'm a super gardener and in Los Angeles. Edward leaf blower hands. And then I could be Edward Zen garden preparer. I could do lots of things. And just as long as I have $1,000 worth of wine in my trailer every day. It's amazing though. Like he is to spend that much money and it's going to take a lot to get out of that.
He's in a Nicolas Cage situation. See, the thing about Johnny Depp is he's always been like, oh, he's so selective on his projects.
He's a tour.
Yeah. He wants
fucking Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right. And that's like sort of funds everything. So then he can do his Mortimer or whatever, like his artsy type movies.
It was called Mordecai.
Mordecai.
Chocolat. Remember I had a twirly mustache and I was in Chocolat.
Chocolat. Yes.
With Julien Binoche.
So he's going to really have to do, National Treasure 4.
Yeah. I was always, you know, I've made it through my whole career and I always thought there should be a Crybaby 2.
Yes.
You know, there was more tales to tell.
With the great Tracy Lords. Okay, Ed.
Yeah.
We recently, Black Sabbath played their last show, I think just this week. And I don't know if you remember last year, Ozzy was, his marriage was on the rocks, his marriage to Sharon.
The Blizzard of Oz. Yeah. He's putting his penis elsewhere.
Ozzy, to me, like, he's one of those guys that really could have benefited from an early death because
all the sads
when,
now.
In the 80s, like when you were a kid, Ozzy Osbourne was the scariest motherfucker in
the world. He was dangerous.
Yes. Like
dangerous.
There will never, cause now we have the internet and you got these jackasses with their fucking Snapchat and their Instagram. But back then you'd like get a picture of a magazine, you know, that like all you would get of these guys was a poster or an album cover or a picture in a magazine. And he'd have fucking blood dripping off his face.
Sweating.
And
he was disgusting, scary.
Scary eyes. And he'd do a video and he'd have a crucifix and you're like, holy fuck, Ozzy. And he was legendary. He's pissing on the Alamo and doing all this crazy shit. And now he's just shuffling around, looking sad, wearing...
Sharon.
Watching the History Channel.
Yeah. Oh, it's scary.
Well, last year he got busted having an affair with his hairdresser. And his hairdresser was much younger, but she was like a, you know, not, was no prize. She's about the kind of, had the kind of look that you would expect a 70-year-old rock star to get with. But Ozzy came out afterwards and said, hey, just, I'm going to get some treatment because I didn't bang my hairdresser because I'm a man. I banged her because I'm a sex addict. Well, Ozzy's finally come clean, Ed, and it is, he's now admitted, no, in fact, he is not a sex addict. He's just a rock star that is able to get lots of pussy. Hold on, let's see. Whether caught with the nanny, arrested with the hooker, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of intro to this one. In 2016, Ozzy Osbourne shambled to the back of the line of the great and the good that have deployed the sex addictions defense. That May, after 34 years of marriage, the UK's Sun on Sunday broke news of the then 67-year-old's affair with a hairdresser. Ozzy had gone AWOL, and fearing a relapse, Sharon, the wife, had discovered calls and messages on his phone. That's how they get you. Guys, get a second phone. One phone for the wife? Baseball players had this figured out as soon as phones came out. You don't just have the one phone. You have two phones. One for your road pussy and one for your regular wife. Well, now Ozzy's reps have made a full admission. It's on Saturday, Ozzy, driven either through naive honesty or charming disregard for the party line, broke ranks and explained his rationale for cheating to the Times of London when he said, quote, I'm in a fucking rock band, aren't I? There have always been groupies. I just got caught, didn't I? It was a bump in the road. I bet your marriage has bumps in the road too, and all. In any marriage, you grow apart if you don't spend enough time together, and that was part of the problem. I don't think I'm a fucking sex addict. Ed, you have been, I feel like you could side with Ozzy here. You've been married a long time. You're very comfortable in your relationship. So comfortable, in fact, that your wife has offered to let you have blowjobs and or hand jobs from hookers, neither of which you were able to transact. But that's aside the point.
Hang on. I know you're going to dig. Hang on. The blowjob, I just turned down.
You turned down. That's right.
I turned down. I could have.
You had the freebie. That's true. But this Ozzy, he's been married 34 years. He's pushing 70. Like, who cares if he throws it in the hairdresser every once in a while, right?
Yeah, and also, what's in it for the hairdresser?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, Ozzy, it looks like one of his arms isn't working so well.
Yes.
He's kind of, like, it's one thing if you're fucking the rock star on the side. Like, Ozzy's just kind of a stumbling. He can't be good because he doesn't seem to be performing at like normal tasks. In interviews, he seems like a little bit off. It doesn't seem like this is worth the hairdresser's time.
Yeah, do you think she's like, because when you fuck a famous guy, it's specifically so you can brag about it.
Like, right.
It's like, it's the notch in the bedpost is what it is.
Right. If I came on the show and was like, dude, I just fucked Anne Margaret.
Right.
I'd be like, well, great. Yeah. But like, you know,
I mean,
even Grumpy Old Men was a long time ago.
If it was 1966, I would be high fiving.
1966, I'd be high fiving until my arm fell off. But like, yeah, the Blizzard of Oz hasn't been the Blizzard of Oz in like 30 years.
And even at his best, he was no Anne Margaret.
Yeah, he's gross.
Yes. Yeah.
Anne Margaret's still way more palatable now.
Do you think she calls her friend? She's like, ring, ring. And her friend's like, hello. And she's like, Heather, guess what? What, babe? I totally fucked a rock star last night.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Was it Drake? No.
A different type of different genre.
Little, I don't even know. I can't keep this going because I can't. I've literally exhausted all my rock stars.
Can you sing something he sang?
Yeah.
Mr. Crowley.
Like, that is just not, you can't, you're not winning anything. There's really nothing in it for her. Unless he's, I mean, he's got a lot of money, but I doubt he was, you know.
Yeah, but like, what could he possibly be paying her with, like, right now?
I know. I
hear you. You know, it's like, and I'm not saying he doesn't have the money, but like, she's not getting rich off of fucking Ozzy right now.
No, I totally agree. Okay, other divorce news, Ed. We talked a lot about it on this show. Scottie Pippen. He was headed down the path of divorce, separated from his wife, Larsa, who was supposedly banging Ciara X, the rapper Future, who's at least a decade younger than she is.
At least.
But it looks like the two have reconciled, according to TMZ. They had a pretty big date the other night in Hollywood. And Larsa was sporting a fat new diamond ring. Scottie filed for divorce back in October following a series of domestic incidents at their Florida home. Larsa had called 911 a bunch of times, but that was then. Now it seems as though they've made up because they looked very couply as they hit the nice guy in West Hollywood last night. Inside the restaurant, Scottie was all smiles as he sang with, oh my God, he got up there and sang with David Foster.
What?
Yeah, shocking. Larsa is calling the ring a Valentine's present. It's massive. There's a picture of it here. It's
like Kobe's.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, giant yellow diamond. It's just this Larsa. I mean, she was out. She had survived Scottie Pippen's face, and now she's got.
Yeah, it's not like that guy's gonna age well.
Now she's got to look at that every morning. But according to the rumors, Scottie Pippen he's got a soup can of his own, Ed.
Yeah, really, that's what you're saying.
Even supposedly by basketball player standards, really just has an impressive hog.
Now that's probably a tough thing to get. To kick and, that habit. And
no one that's ever broken up with me has had to weigh that. They never. Yeah. Like, this Brian, he's so funny. And that piece. Like, I'm going to really miss that impressive piece of hardware that he's got. Like, that's the number one thing.
Guy's packing mad equipment. Yeah.
Yes. Like, it's just not an issue that I've ever had. All right, Ed. Bummed. No Fancy today. We'll try our best to put it together with her.
Yeah, we got lots of material for her.
Next week. I know. We have to keep your creepy.
Yeah, keep sending them in.
Yeah, keep
it. Could be an all creep edition.
Yeah, keep your creepy emails coming. Maybe we'll do Patreon only content. I don't know. There's a lot to get to, and it keeps piling up, and poor Fancy has been waylaid 2 weeks in a row.
Dear Fancy, I'd fuck me. Rubs the lotion on its skin. It does whatever it's told.
Yes, we get a lot of those. So we will catch up with that stuff hopefully next week. Our apologies here if we did not get to your correspondence. We have not forgotten about you, obviously. Ed, excellent job, as always.
Have us.
Good job to me. For Ed Daly, for the absent Fancy Sauce. I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 155 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.